Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And I have Dr. Aaron Fried, who is the Associate Professor of Psychology at Yeshiva University, very involved in teacher evaluation, methodology, Jewish education, teacher training. And actually, he's been on my program before, so it's a great honor and privilege for me, Dr. Fried. How are you today?
Thank God. Okay. How are you?
That's good to hear. Baruch Hashem, I'm doing very well. As always, you've always written so many interesting articles for the Jewish Action, and you've actually written one now that which we're going to be talking about, which is about, well, they really call it Kriya. How, why is it we have problems with kids reading Hebrew correctly? But it really, as I read through the article, I mean, it really seems you're really making a statement about Jewish education in general, about the fact that the methodology that we're using seems not to be working. And that is that we're rushing everything, we're never giving kids a chance to master anything, and maybe that's kind of the root of the problem. Is that correct?
Well, I think you're saying in very absolute terms, not working. I think there's a lot that's working, but I think, yes, we are in a rush, and we do not give children a chance to master. And that is hurting many children. There are many who somehow get by, and they're okay with knowing things approximately. But there are many who would like to understand things better, and an approximate explanation is not enough for them to let them, if you will, bluff their way through. And, they're upset, and they feel like failures. They don't feel they know anything.
So is it the pressure of the parents, or why is there no school or, methodology which says let's take it slow and over time we're going to do better?
I think it's part of the culture. Maybe it's part of our current modern culture. It was an article in one of the Jewish magazines, or a letter to the editor two weeks ago, speaking about the rushed minyanim in the morning and the very quick minyan. One of the fellow writes that he wondered whether you should rush up to the Amud at the end of davening and wave a checkered flag. My reaction to that article is, yeah, you're right. People rush through davening, and then we have the 35-minute blot. And we rush in school as well. So we rush the kids through. But this is an old problem. It's been talked about, actually. The Midrash talks about it 2,000 years ago, about how people just want to cover lots of ground, even if they don't know it clearly. And it's actually said in Shulchan Aruch very clearly that if you have a teacher who covers a lot of ground, but not well and not clearly, and another teacher who covers less ground, but well and clearly, you should hire the teacher who covers less ground well and clearly. This is stated in Shulchan Aruch. We don't adhere to that.
Well, but I think you're right about this concept of rushing. I was always interested. As a matter of fact, one day I remember I was doing a Daf Yomi, and the Magid Shir was running late, because he got involved. He was running late, so he said, let's daven up the next Amud.
Right.
Because after all, when you're davening up the Amud, you're really not listening. You're just going through the words, and that's what you're doing. So, the thing is that, you come up with, a methodology of talking about how it's important that we, teach, kids the decoding skills and phonology and so on and so forth, and that, that research has shown that they really need that. So how do we change it? I mean, is there any school of thought to changing it? Have you ever, you're out there, you're meeting with educators all the time. You bring it up, as anybody said, we're going to change that in our school.
Very few. There are some. There are some who have decided to go a little slower and to focus more on understanding, more on thoroughness, but they're very few. And in fact, they suffer because the public perception of this is that a school that goes somewhat slower is probably for slower kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have this is the public perception, and therefore it hurts the school. So if you're learning less, probably because you have weaker kids or you have a weaker program. People don't look at the depth; they look at just how much do you cover, how much have you covered.
But you say in the article that there actually has been some research now in Eretz Israel about the fact that kids who learn to read a little bit later at age 6 actually learn more quickly and easily and less pain. So there are some studies that are showing that, right?
There are studies that are showing that, and it goes back. We don't even you don't need to go to modern studies. There are letters. The Rebbe of the told us Aaron Hasidim in Yerushalayim. There's a letter from him, or actually a talk that he gave, where he describes when he was a child. He was about 12 years old, and he had been learning a blot a week with his Rebbe till then, and he got a new Rebbe, and that Rebbe went back to a half a blot, an amud a week. And that Rebbe told him, I'm going to teach you how to learn thoroughly, and you will remember me. And he talks in great praise about this Rebbe of his, who taught him how to learn, because he was learning less. The Maharal, the truth is, this is not the Maharal of Prague, writes and complains about the rush and how people teach children things that they're just not mentally, cognitively ready for. And Gemara at a very young age, it didn't help. People didn't listen to the Maharal. They didn't listen to others of great stature. It's hard to make them listen today.
Right. Because you talk about, and I think you're right, you talk about when someone learns Chumash, to understand not just the vocabulary, but the shorish of the words, the prefixes, the suffixes, the nouns, the verbs, Lashon Zachar and the Keva. These are all very technical things which hardly anybody knows at all.
No, there is a lot of work today in the schools on Shurish and prefixes.
Ah, good. Okay, good.
A lot of work on that, but unfortunately, that's not enough. That's not real meaning. That becomes a linguists have called that the algebra creation of language. In math, 2 + 2 = 4. In language, sometimes 2 + 2 = 7. There's a lot depth of language, and then the metaphors and the various shades of meaning in language. These need to be taught to children, and the meaning, the context. It's much more, if you look at the workbooks that are out there on Chumash, it boils down to prefix, suffix, shorish. And Chumash is a very rich literature.
Right.
It's just like if we, Lahavdil, would take Shakespeare and just study the roots of the words there and the prefixes and the suffixes, we would lose most of the meaning.
But somehow, wouldn't you imagine that let's say I go to speak to educators and they tell me today the resource program in schools, larger than ever. A principal told me that in his school, 25% of the kids in his school are actually in a resource program. So if the resource program is growing, and obviously these are kids who are not making it in the conventional way, wouldn't they be very apt to listen to something like this?
In the resource rooms, they do more, but the resource rooms basically try to play catch-up with the class. So you're trying to remediate, help a child, and you're trying to teach him slowly, with understanding. So you fit him into a classroom where that's going to be dropped. I've always found it frustrating that, when we take children in special education and we try to teach them in an appropriate way, we have to slow down. We focus on the meaning. We focus on language. And then we know where they're going to throw them back into a system where that's going to be ignored, and there will be a rush.
Yeah. So, and this, of course, affects davening, because if people don't really understand what they're saying, then the words don't have much meaning. And this kind of contributes to, I think, what you just mentioned, where you said someone should put up a checkered flag at a minyan, because I ask people sometimes this question. Before you went to minyan this morning, okay, and now post-minyan, do you feel any different? And most people tell me no.
That is a big problem that we and everybody's talking about in education, that somehow we walk the walk and talk the talk, And it's very hard. Very few people actually connect to where they need to in davening and learning. And that is one of the reasons that we do have, you know, people talk about children at risk. We have children at risk because they've never been given the meaning. They don't feel connected. They don't feel inspired. They don't feel that when they've davened, they've touched to something. And people do need meaning in their lives. More and more studies show that the essence of happiness and satisfaction in life is meaning in life. And we don't teach our children that. We don't teach them, you know, why they're Jews, what they believe.
Right, right.
That's a separate issue, but it's a big issue. It's one I've been writing about and talking about lately.
You're right. No, I think you're absolutely right about the fact that we just don't teach anybody about the meaning and the beauty of being a Jew. And people walk around and they go through the motions, but there's really not that much to it. And I think we're beginning to see that. We're beginning to see that. And so therefore, in a way, when you think about it, so let's take, you know, it happens to be, I'm not sure when this is going to be on the air, but we're doing this right now during the 9 days, right before Tisha B'Av. And I remember a time when people would just sit, come to shul, kind of go through the motions, and not really get that much out of the whole Tisha B'Av experience. And now we've changed it. Now there are, you know, lectures and speakers, and there also are, you know, programs even in the morning when instead of saying every single one of the slichos or the keynotes, I mean the keynote, instead of saying everyone, they say selected ones, but they explain them and they go through them. Isn't that kind of a very positive thing that I think we're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very positive thing. People, and you can see people are searching for meaning. You know, when Eish HaTorah is an organization for Kiruv, to bring Balei Tshuva, to create Balei Tshuva, to inspire people who are not connected, when they have an affair, I remember I lived in Cleveland, they had an affair in some hotel downtown. And all the frum people rushed there for the Shabbos, and they had no place for the non-frum that they wanted to attract, because all the frum people were looking for meaning. And
right.
They hoped that Eish HaTorah could give it to them, because they didn't get it in their own education.
So hopefully maybe we could start to change the process. How would you change the process? I mean, is it so frustrating that you say it's not possible, or what would be the positive steps that have to be taken to change the process?
There have to be steps. You know, many years ago, I had a long conversation with the Reb Kloizenberger Rebbe Zatzal, famous Rebbe, went through the war, and we were discussing special education and my school at the time. And at the end of about 45 minutes, he says, you know, we left the main thing out in our discussion. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you've got to teach the children what it means to be a Jew. I said, huh? That's why we have, you know, a special program with only religious teachers and professionals and so on. He says, you don't know what I mean. He says, your teachers are worried about the kid knows 3 letters of the alphabet this week. Next week he knows 5, so we're feeling better. This week he learns only 1 pasuk chumash. Next week he can learn 3, so we're feeling better. He says, but they don't know what it means to grow up to be a Jew. They don't know what to believe. You need to teach them, he said, the 13 principles, the Yud Gimel Yikim, the 13 principles of the Rambam. And I was floored because no regular schools don't teach it.
Right.
It can be changed but it needs a program. We need to take time from academics and focus on feelings, on middos, on beliefs, and that needs to be a program just like academics needs to be a program. It's got to be goals and objectives and lesson plans and time given for it, and then we can change things.
Right, and that's another thing you bring up, which I think is also important, that you actually have to make sure that people master this also. It's not just enough to hear about it. You know, just the way you have tests in academic issues, you should have tests in this also. And, you know, to teach bitachon and emuna, you know, I mean, so many times I ask from Jews, do they feel good? One of the speeches I give, by the way, the speech is called, Is It a Burden or a Privilege to Be an Orthodox Jew? And I give the speech only because I've just seen exactly what you're talking about. And you're really talking about more of a holistic approach. That's what you're really saying. We should have a holistic approach. So, you know, the question really is, I think it's so inspiring. I know you're involved in a million things, and you're not afraid to take on a lot of projects, but this one seems pretty overwhelming, doesn't it?
I said
this one seems a little bit overwhelming. I mean, I said I know you're not shy about taking on projects and stating your views, but I think
we need to learn. You know, in the secular world, it's been going on, but the last 10-15 years has been a burgeoning approach, something called social emotional learning, where they're giving time and creating lessons and lesson plans and tests on teaching children about emotional intelligence, about what it means to what your values are, what is self-control, how do you deal with human relations, and so on, anger control. Now, those kinds of lessons could be broadened and applied and deepened for our needs. The model is sort of there. We just need to pick up on it. We need to be able and willing to give time from academics. After all, we don't really see our schools as being only academic institutions. We look to them to raise and to socialize our children as religious Jews. Well, then the school has to give time and effort to that direction.
No, I agree. I agree. Well, listen, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on the program, Dr. Fried. Your insights, and even though we started the article, it was really about Kriya, but it's so much more than that. I think people will really enjoy reading it and hopefully listening to the interview. And maybe there'll be somebody out there who'll be inspired to say, you know, I could start something like this. Why don't I do this in my local school? And why don't I try this in my local community? Maybe we've inspired. All you need is one person to do it. That's all you need, and it was worth it. So thank you so much for being on the program, as always, and continue your great work. Be well. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you. Be well.
Okay.